Hi everyone, my name is Andrew Jagwell, and I am a principal with the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board in Bowmanville, Ontario, which is part of the Durham region. Growing up as a racialized student in the Durham region in the 90s was a challenge. I often remember being the only mixed race student in my class. I remember feeling like there was no one who looked like me, not a teacher, principal, not in books, or in any of the topics we covered. This experience left a lasting memory on me as a leader. And it is something that informed my leadership decisions as a principal. As I grow older, I reflect on my experiences growing up and reflect on some of the privileges I was afforded in some contexts and some of the privileges that others around me have and continue to have that I am not necessarily afforded. One topic today that resonates with me is my experience with the concept of microaggressions. Microaggressions are defined as a comment or action that subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expresses a prejudiced attitude toward a member of a marginalized group. To share with my experience with microaggressions requires some context on my upbringing. When I was 6, I became a vegetarian and remained so until I was 22. Growing up, when I would mention that I was vegetarian, more often than not, the response I would receive was, "Is it for religious reasons?" I would then explain that it was not and go on to explain why I decided at the age of 6 to become vegetarian. I would also ensure that I shared the fact that the rest of my family were not vegetarians. Although there was no ill intent in the person asking this question, I often remember reflecting on how many times I received the same question and wondering if this question was asked to non-racialized vegetarians. Another famous question or comment I received throughout my childhood was when I would discuss anything related to Christmas, and the response I would usually receive would be, "I didn't realize you would celebrate Christmas." These comments were not meant to cause harm, but are comments that I have never forgotten and remind me of some of the experiences my students face. In our role as school and system leaders, we have a lot of power to interrupt and challenge some of these thoughts in a way that continues to focus on learning and building relationships with our staff, students, and community. However, the work starts with us first. We need to model and commit to learning and relearning. We all have bias. Part of our responsibility as leaders is to model our commitment to this learning and relearning. Creating a school that values equity requires this commitment, and it must start with ourselves. I would ask you to reflect on how many times, in your experience, you may have heard about the following statements or actions from students, parents, or colleagues. These examples are taken from the University of Denver Center for Multicultural Excellence. These examples include continuing to mispronounce names, even when informed of the correct pronunciation, singling out students because of their background, making assumptions about students and their background, making assumptions about students or disregarding details about students based on their religion. These are just some examples. When navigating challenging conversations around equity with staff, I always remind myself of my belief that our teachers operate with the best of intentions. When these events occur, it is likely that they may not be aware of the unintended harm caused. This doesn't make it okay. We must engage in these conversations as teachable moments to repair the harm. When I prepare for these conversations, I often consider questions I can ask or statements that I can use to facilitate the conversation, including, "How might so-and-so be feeling? What do you think about? What might you learn from this experience? How can we work towards repairing the relationship and moving forward?" To make the connection with staff, I often discuss my experience with microaggressions and the impact they had on me. I often then facilitate a conversation around intention versus impact. When I was younger, I never did think the comments made were intended to cause harm, but hearing them over and over again definitely had a harmful impact. These conversations are important to facilitate, and building relationships are foundational in doing this work. In my opinion, this work is not about blame or consequences. The focus is on recognizing and shifting the language and actions individuals use in teaching and learning. When staff recognize the focus is restorative, not punitive, these challenging conversations become easier for all parties to engage in. As a leader, here are some personal tips and strategies I strive to implement in my own practice that I believe would help create a more culturally responsive and relevant learning environment. So for number one, consider the students in your school. Do the resources teachers have access to reflect the multiple identities of students? If not, how might you change this? Are our staff reflective of the diversity of our school? If not, how might hiring practices be addressed to support this? Number two, consider creating an equity team. Who are the change makers in your building? How might you engage representatives from each grade division to create an equity team? Suggestion number three, leverage student and community voice. How do your students feel? How does your community feel? Collecting this source of data will provide a more holistic perspective of the strengths and next steps required in the school. Suggestion number four, consider your strengths and next steps in culturally responsive and relevant pedagogy. Have you completed a needs analysis to see what the most important next step might be for your school? Engage an equity team in using resources such as the Equity Continuum by Karen Murray and Nicole West Burns to identify strengths and next steps for the school. Suggestion number five, as mentioned earlier, model and commit to learning and relearning. We all have bias. Part of our responsibility as leaders is to model our commitment to this learning and relearning. Model the vulnerability, share your experiences. Creating a school that values equity requires a commitment to this ongoing learning and relearning. Suggestion number six, consider professional learning opportunities and resources. White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, Being the Change, Lessons and Strategies to Teach Social Comprehension by Sarah K. Ament. And We Got This, Equity, Access, and the Quest to Be Who Our Students Need Us to Be by Cornelius Minor are resources to support professional learning for educators around culturally responsive and relevant pedagogy. To wrap up, I am reminded of a quote from Sarah K. Ament, author of a resource called Being the Change. There is no magic formula for making the world a better place. It happens in the moments we break our silent complicity, embrace discomfort, and have candid conversations about what stands in the way. We must all continue to do the work. Our students deserve it.